Matthew, Mark, Luke is what they call the synoptic gospels. What is synoptic? What's that? Why isn't John a synoptic gospel? Synoptic is kind of what it means in order as it happened. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wrote about Jesus pretty much in the order that Jesus lived his life. Now, they're different authors, so they told it in a little different way, just like you would and I would. If we saw something and I wrote about it, I would say it a little different way than you, but I would say the same thing. So it's in order the way it happened. You with me? Say amen. So Mark is part of the synoptic gospels. And I love the gospels because it's about a story, things that happen real, not theology. It's not doctrinal necessarily, but it's a story that's happened to you. So you can't deny your testimony. You can't deny what happened to you. When you tell me a story about your life, I can't say that didn't happen. And this is a story that really happened. It's not about debatable theology, which I see all over Facebook at times, and I see people wanting to debate about certain things. I said, you know what? There's too much blessing and cookie in the Bible to be debating on stuff, isn't it? Let's get some encouragement. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need some encouragement. And so Mark 4:35. Watch this story now. This story is gonna bless your socks off if you're wearing some. And even if you're not, it's gonna bless your socks off. It's gonna bless you some way, because I've been preaching to myself all week. I need this story. How many of you are going through a storm? How many of you have been in a storm? How many of you have come out of a storm? So what's the significance of this storm story? I want to bring it to where you live, to your heart. And this is how the Bible speaks to us. And that's why it's good for us to read the Bible for ourselves. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word of God for yourself. Some people just get it from preachers. Well, that's all right, but that's not what God says do. So I get encouraged. I preach it to myself. I preached it to myself because I needed it. And the thing about when I preach a sermon that I need as much as you need is that I get blessed, and it encourages me to be a better Christian, to walk a straighter line, to depend on God when I depend on something else or look at my circumstances of my life. And I'm guilty. I am. Of looking at my circumstances rather than looking at God for help. This is going to encourage you, this story, and I'm going to expound on it a little bit. I'm going to start reading verse by verse, chapter 4, verse 35. And it says, on that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side. And so leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Verse 37. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus said himself, he was in the stern, that's in the back. He said, and they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Question mark. And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, hush, be still. Turn to your neighbor and say, hush, be still. Wow. And the wind died down. There's the storm stopping. And it became perfectly calm. Say perfectly. And Jesus said to them, why are you still afraid? Why are you afraid? Question mark. Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sun obey him? Father, we ask your blessing upon this word. Help me to preach it with accuracy and precision, with compassion and respect. Holy Spirit, I ask your anointing upon this word that I may preach it as it's written. Father, let my personality or my energy not be a distraction to what it is that you want us to say. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of the storm. We've all been through them, haven't we? The story of Jesus calming the storm is told, as I said, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, not told in John. And Jesus had been teaching near the Sea of Galilee. Now here's what's interesting about the story. Afterwards, he wanted to rest. Say rest.
Rest.
I need rest.
Rest.
This is important. He's been working in ministry all day long. He was preaching all day long. The crowds were all over him. He was working in his Father's vineyard. He was doing what God had called him to do, to send him down to earth to do. But he needed a rest. It was done. And he couldn't rest with the crowds around him in the large cities around the bigger towns of Galilee. And he told the disciples, get the boat. What? Yeah, I'm getting in. I'm going to the other side where there's no big crowds. I need to go rest. How many of us need to rest sometime? Just rest. He needed to rest from the crowds, so he decided to take a boat with his apostles to the opposite shore where there were no large towns. Good. It's time to quit. Sometimes we need to learn it's time to quit and rest. You know, in ministry, when I do ministry, sometimes my personality, my energy gets overly excited, and I forget about what God wants to show me. I do the work, but I need to rest. Sometimes I don't rest. But Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, God come to earth as man, he needed to rest because he was 100% human, 100% God. He never stopped being God to become human when he came to earth. He was always God from the foundation of the world, but he became one of us. So he could understand that when we're tired, we need rest. When we're hungry, we need food. When we need encouragement, we get that from other people. He needed exactly what you and I need every day. That's what comforts me about Jesus, is that he knows how I feel. I talked to a guy the other day. He says, I get you, minister, preacher, whatever you are. He says, but God, I hear you. I believe what you're saying, but how can God up there in heaven know how I feel about what's going on in my life? And I said, can I tell you something that I know maybe you don't know? He does. He said, how do you know? He's God's up there. I said, no, but he came down here. His name was Jesus. 100% human, 100% God. He does know everything about you and how you feel. It says in the Bible that he was tempted in all points, just as you are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. He knows what it's like to be tempted, yet without sin. That's why he can pay the price for our sins on the cross, because he was without sin. But he knows what it's like to be tempted. And I told the guy, I said, have you been emotionally distraught? Yes. Have you been depressed? Yes. Have you been hungry? Yes. Have you been... Give me something that you've been, and I'll tell you that Jesus knows how you feel. We're not worshiping a God that's sitting on a cloud somewhere going, well, you do the best you can. You know, I'm up here in paradise, and you're down there in that sinful world. No! God knows how we feel. He wanted to connect with us. He became human. His father, of course, was God. Never had an earthly father. His father, mother was Mary. We get that story. So he needed to rest where there are no large crowds. That's in Mark 34, 35, 36. The Bible reports, not longer after they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. How many of you snore when you sleep? How do you know you're asleep? How would you know? Can you hear yourself sleep when you snore? You can see. Oh, you can. Okay. You wake yourself up snoring. He was asleep. He was human. He knew he was asleep. He fell asleep. And what happened? Well, the Bible says in Luke, part of the Synoptic Gospels, the storm came up. So here we go with the storm. So you have a storm in your life. Been through a storm? Mm-hmm. You're either in one, going in one, or coming out of one. What is your storm in your life? There's something in your life that you've been through. Yeah, sure have. You may still be in that storm of your life. It could be a lot of different ways of having storms in your life, but I want you to be encouraged now. And there's lots of points in this passage. I love this passage because it really happened. It was real people. The disciples and the apostles were real people. Jesus was a real person. And this was a real storm. Physically it was. But there's more to this story than the physical storm. Yeah, I get the rain when the rain happens. I get that. I get tornadoes. I see that on TV. I feel for people that get flooded out of their homes and are displaced from their homes. And it's a tragedy when a storm comes into a city or a tornado blows down houses. It's a tragedy. I always pray for those people when I see them on the news, because I can't even imagine losing your entire livelihood and your house to floods or hurricanes. It's a tragedy. But good things sometimes can come out of a tragedy. Turn to your neighbor and say, be very encouraged. Yes. Now, there's lots of points to the sermon for sure, but there's just a couple points I want to bring up. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 is our text. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. And so there's a couple of important points I want to reveal to you. That the true humanity of Jesus, that is a mind blow for me. It's hard for me to imagine that God can become man. And He dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Wow. See, some religions say, oh, God wouldn't stoop that low to be a man. Well, wait. He never stopped being God. He never sinned, even though He was tempted. But He felt everything that you find. All your emotions that you're feeling today, or yesterday, or the day before, guess who knows about them? Should that comfort you? Yeah. He needed rest. Yeah, so do I. And He needed time away from the crowds. Do you feel it? Yeah. Do you feel that? He needed time away from the crowds. Do you feel that some way too? Yeah. Just too much stuff going on. I just need to be alone with the Lord, yeah? He was exhausted. Have you ever been there? Yeah. He was exhausted so much that even the storm that was going to rage over the boat and the thunder and the lightning and the crashing of the waves over the boat at the Sea of Galilee were not going to even wake Him up. This Savior was a tired Savior. He was exhausted. Have you been there? Have you been exhausted? Yes. See? We're connecting with the Lord. He's our friend, not just our Savior, y'all. Come on. So He was so exhausted that even the battering of the boat did not awaken Him, Matthew 8:24. I mean, that's pretty... Now, I don't sleep like that much anymore. When I was younger, I could sleep through anything. You know, children, they sleep through anything. I sleep very little. Man, just a little bit thing wakes me up. But He was so exhausted here that even the crashing of the waves and the storm did not even wake Jesus up. He was an exhausted minister, Savior, friend, intercessor. I mean, all those things. And so I want y'all to connect with the humanity of Jesus. That's important in this story because it's going to comfort you when you're having your storms in your life. Yes. So Christ's humanity is part of what qualifies Him to be our merciful intercessor. God, don't you love that? He intercedes for us. The Bible says He's our mediator with us. He's like that great attorney that intercedes for you in a courtroom of law, saying He's not guilty because of this reason. And Jesus, when He saved you, when you became a born-again Christian, you said, I'll put my faith and trust in Christ through repentance. The judge, God, before you came to Christ, was going to pronounce you guilty of breaking God's law. How many of you have been in front of a judge before? Oh, yeah, that's a trick question. Everybody has, usually. Not trying to trap you on that one. But everybody's been through one. You can get a merciful judge, you can get a judge that's by the book, you can get one to shut, you know what I'm saying. But Jesus is like that intercessor, that mediator. He's like, you're in front of the judge, and He says, have you lied? Yes. Have you stolen? Yes. Have you committed adultery? Yes. Have you used my name in vain? Yes. You've broken my law. I'm going to pronounce you guilty and send you to the wrath of hell because you have broken my law. You are now pronounced good. God was going to pronounce you guilty before you got saved. And if you died in your sins, you would spend eternity in hell. But that's not where God wants you. And He's the judge. And He was fixing to declare you guilty. And you got born again. It's like Jesus coming through the back door of this chapel. And you're fixing to pronounce that the judge was going to go, you are guilty. I sentence you to hell for eternity. Jesus comes in the back of the door. And He says, stop! Stop! I'll take her punishment. I'll pay her crime. Y'all can say amen to that one if you want to.
Oh. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, Brother Ross.
Well, not good enough. I had to add my own embellishment. So that's what Jesus did when you got saved. Hopefully you are. And He's part of His humanity. It qualifies Him to be our intercessor. He knows what we feel, so He goes to God and intercedes for us. Lord Jesus, help me. Cry out to Him when you need help. And that's in Hebrews 2:7. He is our great high priest. Now, although the text doesn't say which apostles were with Christ in the boat, it's probable that they were seasoned fishermen. Wait a minute. These guys made a living in fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Huh. They were experienced fishermen. Don't you think they've experienced a storm before? Huh?
Yes.
They spent most of their time in the evening catching fish. They've been through some storms before at the Sea of Galilee. They were always on the water. They were always out there catching fish. They were experienced fishermen. Now, why is that important for me? Well, when I was studying the passage, I'm saying, well, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. It doesn't matter how much you know the Bible, or you've been a Christian 20 years, 2 years, 2 months, 2 days, you are and will go through a storm in your life. Come on.
Amen.
These are experienced fishermen now. They've been through some storms. Wow, the word was just, as I studied this out, it just came alive to me. So they were very, very experienced. There was probably four, you know, who knows how many were in the boat, were in the boat with Jesus. Now, Jesus is in the boat. He's sleeping in the boat. He's in the back of the boat. And these fishermen are experienced. But all of a sudden, kaboom! It happens just like that. The storm comes up like that. Now, storm can come suddenly in your life, or it can come gradually in your life. I've had fast storms, troubles in my life. I have one now, I have some now, and it's come up suddenly, and then suddenly it'll go away, and then others come slowly, and they stay a long time, and they do a lot of damage before they leave. So there's different kinds of storms, you know, in your life, in my life. I've got a few. That's why this is really burning in my heart. But I want to give you some encouragement when you're going through a storm, what to do and how to react and respond. And so they were quite familiar with the waves of the sea. Wow, so why did they get afraid if they were so familiar with it? Tells me that it doesn't matter how experienced you are as a Christian, you're going to go through a storm. It may be a test that God has put in your life to see how true you are to Him. You know, a lot of people, when a storm comes up, they say, I'm a Christian. A storm comes in their life, and they think they can't even bear it. It's so intense. They go, forget about this. Well, you didn't come to Jesus to avoid the storms. You came to Jesus to get your sins saved first. The Bible said that Jesus came to die for your sins, not to give you a better way of life.
Amen.
You got a bigger problem if you don't know Jesus, and that's dying in your own sins. especially when God does not want you to die in your own sins. It says in the Bible that it's God's will that all come to repentance and come to a knowledge of the truth, that's Jesus. And God doesn't take pleasure in punishing the wicked. So these guys, they're familiar with the, you know, they're familiar with the ocean. These guys are experienced. So you may be listening to the message and you're, oh, I've been around 25 years. Well, okay, fine, great. Hope you read the Bible and do what it says, but you're going to go through a storm. And sometimes they're long, sometimes they're short, sometimes they're damaging, sometimes they're not. It's all different kinds. I don't know where your storm is and what it's like. If it's a tornado, a hurricane, or just a big rain and thunder and lightning, but you've got something in there. You got something going on. And we're going to tell you how to get some encouragement in a minute. And certainly this was not their first squall. They've been through some squalls and storms on the Sea of Galilee. And they would come up unannounced. I mean, they would come, it was like 7 miles wide, 12 miles long. It took a while to cross it. So there was, you know, some obstacles there. Even these professional fishermen got frightened by the storm. Sometimes we go through a storm and we get frightened. Why? We're human! The word, do not be afraid, is mentioned in the Bible so many times, is one of the most popular phrases Jesus spoke about in His ministry. Do not be afraid. Why? Because we have a tendency, when we go through troubles and trials and tribulations in our life, to be afraid. Yeah. Do this. I'm human. Say this. Yeah. Yeah, I said, yeah. I can say that. There's no non-humans listening to the message, are there? Okay, just check. We're all humans. We go through stages in life. But then what? When we go through the storm, then what? You don't give up your walk with the Lord because times are getting tough. Many of you that are hearing this message, man, y'all have been through some storms that you would say you wouldn't believe what I went through. But yes, I do. Maybe do not. Maybe I do. But I know who you believe in. He's in back of your boat. He didn't walk away. He didn't walk away from these disciples. He didn't jump over the boat and say, hey, y'all take care of yourself in the storm. No, He was right there. And He'll never leave you or forsake you. To your storms. That's when you need Him the most. And we're going to talk about their lack of faith, but I'm going to talk about what really woke up Jesus. What really woke up Jesus? It wasn't the storm. Hello? So they've been through the storms before, which was known for its sudden raging storms. They would come out of nowhere. Boom. Wow. Has something in your life come out of nowhere? Ooh, blindsided you? Yep. It'll happen. And then what? We'll talk about how to, and then that's, wow, bam, blindsides you. The storm is in. You're going like, sometimes, when is this storm going to go away? Well, I'm going to tell you how to help you. So these professional fishermen were frightened by the storm to the point of fearing they would die. They said, oh, save us, save us. They thought they were going to die. The boat was filling full of water. And your boat in your life may be filling full of water. And you may be thinking that your boat in your life is about to sink. Jesus is still chilling out. No worries. But we worry because we're human. And sometimes we look at the circumstances of our lives, the storms, the things that you're going through in your life right now is a big storm in your life. But sometimes we focus too much on the storm and we forget that Jesus is in back of your boat. Your Savior is right behind you. So what do? You keep your eyes on what's happening, the troubles and tribulations of your life, or do you turn around and acknowledge that the Savior is always with you? And they thought they were going to die. Well, what's up with these apostles? They've been through these storms before. It must have been a storm of the storms because they've been through some storms before. And don't you know that God controls the storms. Jesus is God in the flesh. Don't you know before Jesus got in the boat that the storm was going to come? Absolutely. He knew there was going to be a teaching lesson in this because only God controls the weather. He knew that was going to happen. He wanted to see what their response would be, and He was going to be right there. He wasn't going to leave them. He did rebuke him on lack of faith later on, but he was right there. And you know, when he got tired and fell asleep, what was going to happen? He's omniscient. He knows all things before it happens. So just be encouraged when you go into that storm of your life and you're saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this storm. My boat is filling up and I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I want to give up. Just remember where Jesus is. He is with you. And He will never leave you or forsake you. Our Savior, what a precious Savior we have. The waves are breaking into the boat. How big are your waves in your storm right now? Are they crashing into your boat? Oh, wow, it's no place to go. You look around, you can't even look at land anywhere, and your boat is filling up full of water. God bless you in the name of Jesus. So the waves are breaking in there, just like you. You got some waves breaking in your boat? Yeah, probably. And the boat was filling up. But Jesus, here He was. Don't you love Him? He was in the stern, in the back, asleep on a cushion. I don't know if Jesus snored. He was human. He could have snored. I don't care. You know, He's human. He had all the characteristics of a human being. Whatever you do, He's doing physically. That's what my imagination always, like, was He, like, snoring or something? I don't know. He was doing whatever we do. He was human. But God, he never stopped being God. And so it's asleep, and he was a sound asleep through the storm. Now that tells me something. That if you know Jesus and you're going through a storm that you think you can't get out of, that you think it's just no way that you can ever get through this storm, it tells me if you're a Christian, you can have that peace that He had. He was sound asleep. And He was in the CERN. He was deep and sound. It tells me that you can have peace through your storms. That's the victory, my friends. That He never promised that you would never go through a storm. So when you come to Jesus and you go through a storm, many people just going back to the way it was. Shoot, if I'm going through the storm and I know Jesus, I was going through storms and I was doing all that and then some. That's not why He came. He never promised His believers that they would never go through trials and tribulations and storms of their life. Never. Now, He has promised you this. I love real promises, not fake promises that you hear some preachers preach. He did promise that you could have peace through the storms. That's what I want. Because I know I'm going to go through them. I'm going through one now. You're going through one now, maybe. I just want to be able to have peace and somebody look at you and say, what's up with you look calm. You're going through a lot in your life. You know, your husband has left you. Your children don't like you. You've been kicked to the curb with your family. You got physical problems. You got all kinds of stuff going on, but it seems like you're at peace. Because you know why? You got Jesus in your heart. He's the Prince of Peace. That's the victory. The victory is not avoiding the storms, it's having peace through the storms. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
He was sleeping sound even through the storm, which was all, he was filling the boat up. So he was still doing what he was doing, sleeping. The apostles were getting afraid, and they had been through storms before. That tells me that you're not just going to have one as a Christian. Okay. Somebody says, well, I'm going through a lot. Well, praise the Lord. What are you doing? Well, I see, you're doing the wrong thing. If you got all that, you know, you got to go to where the Bible says go to when you're going through the storm of life. The Bible says that sleep of a believer will be sweet and peaceful. Say sweet and peaceful. This is awesome because he knows the Lord is with him. You can be at rest through storms because Proverbs 3:21 says you can be at rest and at peace when you even have a storm in your life because the Lord is with you. So are we going to the Lord or are we going away from the Lord when we have problems? A lot of people start stepping back when they have problems and storms when they should be stepping forward. We've all drifted away from God. I got news for you. The Bible, if you say you haven't, you're lying. Because the Bible says we're all like sheep and have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's a Christian. Sheep are Christians. I've done it. We've all done it. But when you hear the call of the Savior, the shepherd, real sheep, even though they're struggling and off the path of where they need to be, they hear the shepherd's voice. Even they're struggling. If you're struggling, amen. If you're not struggling, amen. If you're struggling, say praise the Lord. If you're not struggling, say praise the Lord. Because you know what? We serve a God that never changes, never, ever, ever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But your circumstances will. Your family will. Your children will. All the stuff that you're going through will change. But God never has changed and never will change. Aren't you glad you serve a God that doesn't change? Wishy-washy people that are over here, over there, believing this, believing that, to and fro. That's very comforting that we worship a God that will never change. He's been the same from eternity past. That's encouraging to me. Psalm 4:8 says that too. This is why Jesus, when he was awakened, he rebuked the disciples with the question, have you still no faith? Well, come on now. Let's get real about it. There's times in your life when you lack faith, yes? Mm-hmm. Or your faith has gotten weaker. Maybe it wasn't as strong as it used to be. Maybe it's not strong that it needs to be. But we all have gone through periods of life, through trials and tribulations and storms, when we lack faith. What do you do when you lack faith? You ask for more. How do you get faith? You ask Jesus, increase my faith. Remember the man that had the demonic son? He says, I can heal your son if you believe. And Jesus, and he said, and the man said to Jesus, help me believe. If you're lacking faith today, ask the Lord for more faith. And when you get it, use your faith. Faith is not, oh, if I say, I see them on TV all the time, just the way it is. These preachers that preach this prosperity gospel that's not the gospel at all, they say, if you say something 1,000 times, it will come true. That's not faith.
Amen.
Faith is reading the Word and believing what God says do when He promises you to do something. He wants the best for His children. But it's not about saying, I want a Cadillac, I want a Cadillac, I want a Cadillac, I want a Cadillac 1,000 times and one pops up in the driveway. That ain't faith. That's having faith in your faith, not faith in God. And I always say, somebody said, well, I'm going to ask for a house 1,000 times and I'm going to get it because I'm going to say it 1,000. My words mean have power. Well, the Bible is the word that has the power. So they say 1,000 times, I want a bigger house. I want a nicer house. I want a nicer house. I want a nicer house. And I go, what happened? Well, I didn't get a nicer house. I said, well, maybe you don't clean up the one you have. Just saying. But God is always with you, and we do lack faith at times. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. But God can increase your faith if you ask Him. He says, ask, seek, and knock. What are you asking, seeking, and knocking for? A bigger house? No. Peace? Yes. Joy? Yes. You know, the one thing we need to pray for is the characteristics of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How many of us don't want those 9 fruit of the Spirit? That's what I want. I want more love. I want to love you better. I want more joy in my life. I want to have more self-control in my life. I don't need a bigger car. Now, if the Lord wants to give me one, I'll take it. No problems. Blessings are a blessing. Now, hey, and some people get blessed more than other people get blessed. But you know what? Don't be jealous about your neighbor getting more blessed than you when you ain't getting blessed and going, where's my blessing at? I've heard people like that. Where's my blessing? They ain't getting blessed. What's up with that? God will bless who He chooses, when He chooses, and how He chooses. Our responsibility is to read His Word, pray to Him, and do the best you can to obey the Word, and that's when the blessings of obedience come in. And it won't be something tangible you can touch. It may be, but it'll be something deep down inside you that nobody can see. Oh, yes. The blessings that nobody can see are the biggest blessings of all. Wow, somebody needed that. Anyway. So the apostles' lack faith reminds us of, even though we live and we walk with, you know, they walk with Jesus. They walk with Him. They saw His miracles. They saw Him raising the dead and casting out demons and perform miracles. They saw Him do that, and even they saw Him with their eyes and heard Him preach the gospel, the best preacher of all time, of course. They still lacked faith because they saw. Reminds me of a scripture in Timothy. Timothy goes, Jesus had rose from the dead. He had nail marks in His hand from the cross. And He had a puncture in His side where they pierced Him to bleed Him, you know, make sure He was dead. Because they punctured Him, the soldiers would do that while He was on the cross. And Thomas, remember doubting Thomas? He says, yeah. They said, He's rose from the dead. He's rose from the dead. Yeah. That's my interpretation. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, right. He says, I'll believe, Thomas, the apostle. This is after the resurrection. Proving Jesus was God, who rose from the dead, defeating sin and death and the sting of death and the grave. He rose from the dead on the third day. And Thomas says, yeah, I will believe when I see. Eyeballs. Some people have to say, well, how can I believe in a God that I cannot see? I said, do you believe in gravity? I witnessed to a guy, and I said, so you have to see God to believe in God? He said, yeah, pretty much. I said, do you believe in gravity? He goes, yeah. I said, okay. So do you see gravity? Where is that? He got it, see. You got to talk to people where they can get it. Don't preach to people one-on-one. I'm preaching today, but you got to put it in a place where people that are not Christians can understand what you're talking about. I said, okay. I'll give you $1,000. I'll go to the bank. If you believe that if I drop these sunglasses from my arms, they'll go up in the sky instead of down on the ground. Would you take that bet? He goes, man, I ain't crazy. I said, yeah. So you're telling me that you can believe in something you can't see? He says, okay, I get your point. Now what's your point? I said, are you a good person? And by your goodness, would you go to heaven? He says, yeah, pretty good. I'm pretty good. I said, pretty good? He said, what about you? I said, I'm both pretty and good. You got to make them laugh too. And he says, well, I'm 60% good. I said, really? You can get to heaven by being 60% good? Can I ask you a few questions to see if it's true? He goes, okay. I said, have you lied? That's in the ninth commandment, do not lie. He said, oh, yeah. I said, how many times you lied? Let's give a test. How many of you lied 100 times? Raise your hand. 100 lie. Got 100 liar here. She got. Yeah. How many of you lied 500 times in your whole life? I got a 500 time liar here. 500 times. So I got a 1,000 time liar. Got a, if you lie, I got a 1,000 time liar over there. I got a 1,000, 2,000 time liar over there. 2,000 time. We got an auction of liars in here. Yeah, I got to give y'all credit. Y'all are the most honest liars I've ever heard in my life. God loves honest liars. Because all liars will perish on the day of judgment. Have you stole something small? Yeah. Oh, how many times did you say, give me stealers? And got, you stole ones over here. I mean, stole 100 times. I said 100. Now, y'all a bunch of thieves. So I asked him, I went through why he needed Jesus. I went through the law, the commandments that said, do not lie, do not steal, do not be jealous on other people's possessions. And when I told him that this is why Jesus came, he didn't come. He said, man, I got it all. I said, what are you talking about, got it all? He said, I got a beautiful wife. I got great kids. I got a good job. I got insurance. I look at my car. I said, yeah, okay, good for you. I said, but you just told me you're a liar, thieving adulterer at heart. And if you died on the day of judgment, you were judged by those, just those three commandments, not all ten. Would God sentence you guilty or innocent? He said, guilty. I said, you got a problem. You got a problem. Your problem right now is that you have an opportunity to admit that you're not a good person. That it takes perfection to enter the kingdom of God, and only one that lived this earth in the flesh was perfect, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And he says, I've never heard it like that before. I said, well, you heard it now. What you gonna do? He said, I'll get around to it. I said, look, can I give you some of this before I gotta go? Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. I said, you're gonna get around to it? Okay. I said, what are the chances of you getting in your car and going home to your family and dying in an automobile accident? Is there a chance that that could happen? He said, of course. I said, do you know people that have died early in their life ahead of what you thought they would die? He said, absolutely. How many of you have friends that have gone early? Yep. We all do know that. I said, don't take a chance. You've heard the story. Repent and believe in Jesus as your Savior right now. He says, I can't do it right now, but I'll get around to it. I said, okay. I've done all I can do. Gave him a gospel tract and I left. But the apostles' lack of faith reminds us of those who walk with Jesus. You know, Jesus, Thomas says, I will believe in Jesus if I see him, if I can put my finger in his hand and put my hand in his side, I will believe. And guess who comes through the wall? He was in his resurrected body. Jesus was after his resurrection. He could walk through walls then. He wasn't in his humanity then. He walked through the walls and he looked at Thomas and he goes, I'm right here. My God. And you know what Thomas said? Right away he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And Jesus says, oh, Thomas, you believe in me because you see and you can touch and you can stick your finger in my hole prints and my hands where I was crucified on the cross, and you put your hands in my little side where they stuck me with the sword, where the soldier stuck me. But blessed are those who believe in me but never have seen. Say it. You're more blessed. If you're a Christian today, you're more blessed than the people that saw Jesus performing miracles in their eyes, with their eyes. Say hallelujah. Your rewards are greater. You say, really? I'm just an average, you know, Christian. No, no, you ain't either. Not if you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Your blessings are greater in heaven because you believe and you've never seen. Woo! I'm fixing to run the pews. So be turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged by that. The apostles that were afraid are so much like us. We're afraid at times. We lack faith at times. Yes, we do. No question about it. However, their lack of faith was rebuked by the Lord. He was going to use it as a learning experience. How many of you have been chastened by the Lord in learning experiences? Oh, yes, Lord, chasten me. Can I have another spanking? Can I have another spanking, Lord? Spiritually speaking, of course. No, we don't look for chastening. God will chasten us when we need to. And you know, if we lack faith, we've got to ask for Him to increase our faith so we can use our faith. And our faith, as we use our faith, and we say, I believe that God can do this, whether He does it then, now, or maybe He never does it in your lifetime, He still can do it. He will do it in His time. Somebody said, well, I've been here and that a long time. I've been through the storm a long time. I said, well, just keep the faith. If Jesus was able to rescue the apostles from the storm, this is good. This was the worst storm of their life. This was the worst storm that they've ever seen. If He can rescue the physical storm and the apostles, He can also rescue us from what? the storm that you're going through right now. Either believe it or not. And if you believe it, you say, man, this storm I'm going through, where I am, what's going on in my life, the troubles I'm experiencing, the people I'm in my life, that whatever the storm, the physical part, you're emotionally distraught, if He can rescue them from this storm, can He rescue from what the storm that you're in? He's also, he's more than able and willing to rescue us from the storms of your everyday life. Say every day. Not just some, thank you, amen. Not just some days. It's not, if they cast all your cares upon Him, not some of your cares. Come on, y'all. That's why when you pray, open up your palms to the heavens and pray, because when you have open palms, you can't hold on to anything. You can't hold on to your anxiety. You can't hold on to all the pressures of your life that you're going through right now. You can't hold on to that storm that you're going through right now. When you open up your palms, you're surrendering your problems to the Lord. Give them to Him and cast all, not some. And we say, well, I'm not living a very victorious life in Christ right now, because you're not casting all your cares. You're just doing some of them. Some of them you're holding on to thinking you can do it. No, you can't. Just like Jesus, when He said, peace be still to the storm stopped immediately. And if He wants your storm to stop, and it's time for you, that storm in your life to stop, all He's got to do is say the word. But you got to believe He can. That's where the faith comes in. You know, he'll do it on His timing. Don't get all like, well, people look at their spiritual watch. Well, Lord, I've been asking a long time. I ain't showed up yet. That's where the faith comes in. So He can handle the storms of your everyday life. Your sickness, say amen. Your job loss, say amen. Your marriage problems, amen, that storm. And even the sting of dying, He's overcome death. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, He is, oh sting, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? You have no victory over me. I'm in Christ. I'll live for eternity in heaven. When I die, I'll see Jesus. I will be like Him, and I will live with Him in paradise forever and ever and ever and ever. That's a long time, y'all. See, this life that you're living today, if you're not a Christian, listen closely. If you're a Christian, listen closely. This life that you're living right now is a blink of an eye in God's timing. Okay, on the count of three, I want you to blink. One, two, three. Okay. There's your life. You're going to spend a lot more time in eternity, whether it's hell or heaven, than you are on this earth. Your life is a vapor. How many to cook? That, you got to boil water to cook, right? So that vapor that comes off that water, that you see it for a couple seconds and it's gone. That's your life in God's timing. Why are we putting so much stake in things that we think are important here on earth when it's only going to be like a blimp? God's timing is eternal. There's no time with God. So you got sickness? Yeah. Job loss? Marriage? Problems with your physical issues, addictions of any kind, whatever the problem is, whatever the storm is in your life, He's there in the boat. I'm going to close for the first time. Jesus gave the order to go over to the other side, Matthew 8:18. Let's go. Just like when you get, when Jesus tells you, when the Word tells you to do something, what do? Do it. Yes, the reference. And so, is it complicated? No, it's not. It's encouraging. He knew the storm was coming. He's omniscient. Before He asked to go to it, get the boat, I'm going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I need to rest. And He slept so soundly even through the storms of life. And they were so panicky and they were so afraid. They thought they were going to die. He was still sleeping. He knew, being omniscient, that the storm was going to happen. And He knows that the next storm that you're going to go through is going to happen. Why? He allows it to happen. But He always allows The escape route. What is it? I was thinking about this passage. He was asleep, right? The storms came, yes. And he woke. He awoke. And I was thinking, you know, about this your lack of faith thing, and I've heard that preached before. And he rebuked them because they lacked faith, because they were not completely committed to Christ. Some of us are Christians, but we're not completely committed to Christ. So their faith wasn't matured yet, you see. So they didn't realize that he's in control of the nature and the storms and the waves. And he says, in other words, don't y'all realize that I control the nature, the weather, all the obstacles in your life? Don't you know I can control it? Why are you afraid if you believe that? That's why he said you lack faith. But you know what? It wasn't their lack of faith that woke Jesus up. This is something when I was embedded in this. It wasn't their lack of faith, because you and I will lack faith. Sure, we will. We'll go through periods of our life, our Christian experience. We will lack faith. It wasn't their lack of faith that woke Jesus up. It was their cries for help. Again, it wasn't their lack of faith that woke Jesus up. It was their cries out to Jesus that woke him up. It wasn't the storm that woke him up. You can lack faith quietly. That didn't wake anybody up. But when you cry out to Jesus, when you're in the storm of your life, and you don't cry out to Jesus, why not? You want to get Jesus' attention? Cry out when you're in the storm. See, lack of faith will just... You don't know whether I'm lacking faith now or not, because I'm sorry. But when I cry out to you, and you cry out to Jesus, that's what woke him up. It wasn't their lack of faith. It was their cries out to Jesus that woke Jesus up. Their Savior, they were afraid. They lacked faith, but it was their cries, Jesus, Jesus, save us, save us. Do you cry out to Jesus when you're in the storm, or where do you cry to? What book do you go to? Where do you go to? You should cry out to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, cry out to Jesus. As I close for the second time, even a storm brewing, yep, he was in control of the storm, so don't be discouraged. Jesus is in control of everything that happens in your life. He decided to launch out to the sea. The Lord never promised that we'll never see a storm in life. You know what? That is true. People go like, you know what? Where's Jesus loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life thing? Where's the thing about Jesus? If I come to Jesus, I'll never have any storms in my life. Where is that in the Bible? And you know what? I say, it's not in the Bible. I can't find it. You know what? I looked for that scripture. It's not there. That's not the promise. He never promised in Scripture that you will not go through a storm in your life, and y'all, some of you listening to the message are going through lots of storms for sure. But remember, we talked about Jesus being 100% human. He knows exactly how you feel. He was denied by his friends when he was going to the cross and he needed them the most. They ran away from him. And his friends, even Peter, that loved him and was with him through his ministry, denied him 3 times. Dogmatically, he said, no, I do not know this man. Because he wanted to save his life. And you know, when we sin and fall away from God, we deny him too. We do. We all do. We all have sin. We all sin. We all sin. Hopefully we're sinning less. We can never be sinless. But Jesus was without sin. So when you put your faith in Him, God sees you as He would see His own Son, being born again. Hopefully you've been born again. But He never promised in Scripture that we would never see a storm in life. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. He has told us to expect trouble. So turn to your neighbor and say, expect trouble. Yeah, sign me up. Right? Try that on somebody. Hey, when you become a Christian, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Oh, forget about that. Well, that's not why He died. He didn't die to keep you from troubles, from a trouble-free life. He died to save you from your sins. That's the biggest problem. That, you know, the inconveniences of life are like a little thorn in your finger. But dying in your own sins is having a heart attack that kills you. You see? If you were having a heart attack and you got rolled into the emergency room, and you were having a heart attack, and you had a splinter in your finger, and you showed the splinter to the doctor, and you were having a heart attack, you think he's going to pay attention to the splinter? No. You got a bigger problem. You're fixing to die. You're having a heart attack. Forget the splinter. So if you're listening to the message without Christ, you got a big problem. Dying in your own sins is a problem you don't want to have, because you'll experience the wrath of God. And by the way, the wrath of God is perfect like His love is perfect. People don't preach that. His love is perfect. Everything God does is perfect. His wrath is perfect. His love is perfect. He doesn't wish anyone to perish. Say amen.
Amen.
And I'll close for the third time. Rather, He had promises that we will see trouble. Really? That's not very encouraging. Yes, it is. If He already told us we're going to have trouble, it is. Because we know if we have trouble, it's like, oh, I thought in the Bible that we were going to have no troubles anymore. Well, look at what the apostles went through. Look at what the prophets of the Old Testament went through. They went through hell and high water. I mean, they went through the worst possible circumstances. And you may be in that boat filling of water. But turn to your neighbor and say, be of good cheer. Rather, He had promised that He will be with us in the storm. That's the promise. Not that you're not going to have storms in your life, is that He will be with you in the storm. That's the promise. Get it right, because that'll put you on the victory trail. Gosh, I love it. And I go back to this passage a lot when I'm having storms in my life, and it comforts me. It doesn't take the storm away right away. Some storms are fast. Some storms are slow. Some storms are devastating. Some are not. I don't know what kind of storm you're going through, but know that Jesus is with you. I want you to persevere through your Christian experience. If you're a Christian, why? He will never leave His children alone in the midst of trouble. Never. Say never, 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 ever, never, never, ever, never, 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 ever, never, 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 ever, never, 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 never. Come on. Never, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, never, never. He will never leave you or forsake you even when you do wrong. Yes. He'll chase you when you do wrong, but He will come to get you when you strayed off the path and you go over here. When you should be over here. We're sheep, we're going like, what about over there? Remember the old days? What about over there? I liked it over there. Well, that's not where the shepherd is leading you. You with me? You with me? Say amen. Okay. Almost done. Holy Spirit, be with us now. As I close. So the perseverance is where we need to be. Because you know what? It's a marathon race. Y'all say marathon.
Marathon.
You know, I'm pretty good at a 100-yard sprint. How many of you are pretty quick at a short sprint? Can you run fast? I can run pretty fast. But listen to this. But after about 100 yards at full speed, guess what happens? I start slowing down. Say, way down. So run your... your Christian experience with perseverance. Don't have a high or low. Don't have a roller coaster ride up and down. Try to just persevere. You know, perseverance is a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of perseverance. And James 1:2 talks about it. Deuteronomy 31:8 talks about it. Just when you go through the storms, know that you're going to come out of them if you cry out to the Savior. That's what woke him up. That's what stopped the storms. Cry out to Jesus when you're going through the storms. And as I close for the fourth time, I promise, no I don't, but I'll try. This passage in Mark 4, it doesn't just only reveal Jesus' true humanity. Praise the Lord that God became human. Other religions, they say, no way, that degrades God. No, it doesn't. It uplifts God, and it puts you in connection directly to God because He knows exactly how you feel when you go through the storms of life. Well, it doesn't take the storm away, but it gives me comfort. But He was truly God, 100% God, 100% man. Only God can make the winds and water obey Him. Yep, that's true. You agree? Yes, amen. Luke 8:25 talks about that. Now, with one quick word, all right, here we go. Going down, we're going to get you to the finish line. With one quick word, or maybe two in this passage, in the other synoptic gospels, it was just, be still. He said this, watch. Hush, be still. Say hush. Say it like this. Hush. Be still. And guess what happened? The storm went away. Immediately. It wasn't gradually. All he said is he woke up, he saw his children afraid, crying for their help. Their cries woke Jesus up, not their lack of faith, but their cries woke him up. And he saw his children afraid because they thought they were going to die. They thought that the troubles they were going through and the trouble and the storm you're going through was just too intense for them. And he took care of it like he'll take care of you. And he can do that today if you ask him. And he'll say to your storm, if you ask him and cry out to him like the apostles did, he'll say, when it's time, your storm, you're done. You're done in my daughter's life. You're done in my son's life. Peace. Be still. Turn to your neighbor and say, peace. Be still. Don't we all want that? Oh man. That's what happened in this story. And the storm immediately became calm. Say calm. Man. That's where I want to be. Now, if he wants to take away the storm right immediately, that's fine. If he wants to let me linger through the storm, that's fine. If he needs me to increase my faith to let the storm go a little bit longer in your life, the one that you're going through in your life, the one that you're going into right now in your life, maybe it's the one you're not quite out of in your life, you can still have what he said, the calm. There's the victory, y'all. The apostles marveled at his powerful display, Jesus' supernaturally ability over the elements. He's God. He can control the elements or anything he wants. Know that he is in control of your life. And he wants to be a part of every part of your life. Not just some. Remember, cast all? Not some. Give him everything. He's interested in everything. All of it. All of it. Cry out to him. That'll get his attention. This can be immensely comforting to a Christian in a storm. Have you been comforted?
Yes.
It comforts Christians knowing that Jesus is with us in the storms of our lives. Faith in Christ is never misplaced. Your faith is not misplaced if it's faith in Christ. It may lack. It may waver. You may look away from it or from God when you're going through the storms. You may think your children will never come back, or you never have a structured household anymore, or your problems with your emotions or anything else will never get better. It may happen. But know that Christ cares about it. And if you cry out to Him, you're going to get His attention. So I would encourage you, when you're going through a storm, cry out to Him. Say, Jesus, help me. I can't live without You. So your faith is always in the right place if it's in Jesus. If He can calm the storms of the sea with one word or two words, peace, be still, He can certainly calm the storm in your life. If you believe that Jesus can calm the storm in your life, say amen.
Amen.
If you do not believe that Jesus can calm the storm in your life, say, oh my. Y'all got it. Y'all got it. He can and He will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. Your Word is everlasting. It's divine. Divine inspiration by the Holy Spirit and through the apostles and all the people that had flaws. You wrote through them, but the Bible is written by God through personalities, different personalities of the Bible. It's inspired by You. So we thank You for the Word. I thank You for the opportunity to share the Word. This is an awesome story for Christians that are going through storms in their lives. I pray that it was an encouragement to them, the ones that are Your sheep of Your pasture, and that it helps them when they're going through a storm, that they can cry out to You. Even though sometimes we lack faith, we know that You like it, and You will respond when we cry out to You in humility and brokenness, even though sometimes we're afraid like the apostles were. And Father, if there's anybody listening to my voice that's not a Christian, I pray that this word will help them know the Lord for the first time. Or maybe they've drifted off from You, and that this scripture will help them come back to You after being away from You for a while. They can go to a website called needgod.com and take a test to see if they can get to heaven by being a good person. And the ones that are Christians that have heard, I pray that not my personality or my energy about it, and I'm excited about the Word, but I pray that the Word itself and the way I explained it, hopefully I did it well, under Your guidance, that it encouraged Christians to keep persevering in the storms. And we love You for it. And people listening all over the world, and they can listen to any sermon that I've done for many years at sermonaudio.com, ready to go, and listen to it anywhere in the world. So, Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for this day. And most of all, we thank You for our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We love You. We praise You. We thank You. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and for His glory we ask. Amen.